Even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet rob me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against them? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day will I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. May the Lord bless and honor the reading of his word to us. For we do pray, Heavenly Lord, that we receive that word wholeheartedly and we walk in your ways. We take it to heart. We take it home. We take us with us through our lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, these things in the name of Jesus, thy dear Son. Honor your presence among us. Speak to us through your word. In his name we ask it. Amen. My text is verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. So, the theme of my message this morning comes from this verse. Excuse me. It's called A Book of Remembrance. God records the lives of his people, those who fear his name and think on that name, talk about that name. They are precious in his sight. Their thoughts, their prayers, their words, everything about them is precious to him. And it's so precious that he records it in his book, a book he calls a book of remembrance, remembering their thoughts, their words, their tears, their cares. It's all there before him. And he restrains himself so because he loves them so. He delights in them so. His people are so precious to him. He restrains himself from delivering them from their sufferings. And he purposes to deliver each and every one of his people, of his precious people that fear his name and speak about his name and meet together to talk about it. He will rescue each and every one of them in his perfect time. The book of remembrance is a guarantee that the Lord in his time will surely deliver his people from all their troubles, as one commentator said. So I want to talk about they who fear the Lord. That's the first thing that comes from this verse, then they that feared the Lord. I also, on the second point, I want to speak on they sought to meet with one another. They sought one another. Notice this, that the Lord spoke often. They that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. So I'm going to talk about that. Then I want to speak on they thought upon his name, and that's at the end of the verse. They that thought upon his name. And then finally, I want to talk about God remembering us. God remembers, and he remembers us. I want to show how that works. So we have those 5 points. They feared the Lord. They sought one another. they thought upon his name, God's remembrance and God's remembrance of us. They feared the Lord is mentioned twice in this verse. So it's important to fear the Lord, not fear man, but fear the Lord, not fear government, the IRS, whatever. Fear the Lord. Fear disease? Those who fear the Lord are His blessed people. Those who fear men are not. There were those who feared the Lord here in Malachi's day and those who did not. But the ones who did not, they did show piety, but they showed a pretense to piety. They did not fear the Lord. Because when they came with their offerings, if we read through Malachi, you know, that they came with their offerings and they offered blemished animals. They offered the sick and the lame. They brought it to the temple for the priest to sacrifice. And do you know? The priest took them in. Much like churches do, take in the monies from their bazaars and their games and their sales and things like that to support their church and support their ministry rather than from the tithes and offerings of God's people. There are many churches that do this. Rome comes to mind big time. But there are other churches as well. And the priest took these blemished animals, these rejects, if you will, for they kept the ones that were unblemished, the ones that were the best yearlings of the flock. And they gave the Lord, they gave to the Lord their leftover, if you will. Just as many people in the church today do what they do. Oh, they spend their money on this and on that, on their houses and on their new cars and on their new hobbies and on this and on that. They gather all these things that they have for themselves and then they give something to the Lord. It's not the way it's supposed to work. First God, right? You know this. First God. First, more than the tithe. The tithe was a base. Everybody gave more than a tithe that was faithful in the Old Testament. It's more than a tithe. You give first that. Then you start spending on yourself if you can't afford to get anything. If you can't afford a new car, that's okay. You can't afford a bigger house, that's fine. You can't afford, you know, steak at every meal, that's okay too. I'd rather give my money to the Lord. And to the work of the Lord. First and foremost, that's the main thing. But these people had a show, a pretense, as one author said, a sham piety. And they gave what they didn't need. They didn't want necessarily. And the priest took it. So they were just as corrupt. They didn't, instead of reprimanding the people for coming like this and saying, no, this is an abomination to the Lord, they took it in. So there was this sham piety going on in the day of Malachi, much like there is today. I mean, some things don't change, as they say. There were those among the priest and the people, both the priest and the people that were adulterers and fornicators. Why? Well, the Lord points this out in this book. He points out that they say, well, how have we gone against holiness? How have we gone against your holiness? You know how? You divorced your wife. And you took in these heathen women to be your wives. This is what the priests and the people were doing. They divorced their wives, and you took in the heathens because, well, I don't know, maybe they were more attractive to you, whatever it may be. But they took them in, and God says to them, "Wherein have we profaned God's holiness?" the people said. To which the Lord answered, "Thou hast dealt treacherously with the wife of thy youth, yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." You call yourself a covenant people. Do you realize you're still married? Do you realize you're still married to that covenant? That's your companion for life. Do you realize that? And you divorced her and taken this other woman? There was this perversion going on among the priesthood, as well as the people. The Lord accused them of robbing him because they didn't pay the tithes that they were promised that they owed him. They didn't really give their tithes, even. Yet there were those still among this group of people, renegades, if you will. There were those that feared the Lord. There were those who loved the Lord, who revered the Lord, who thought that God was awesome and majestic and glorious, knew themselves to be sinners, knew themselves to be part of a sinful nature, a nation, a sinful group of people, knew that they didn't deserve a single solitary blessing in their lives, and God gave all these things, and they feared the Lord, they revered the Lord, they loved the Lord. These were faithful husbands, loving husbands. These were devoted wives. These were obedient children and families, and they sought one another. They sought their own company to gain encouragement and direction and comfort in the time where the nation was failing and floundering and things were going from bad to worse. These were very serious times in the day of Malachi. Very terrible times for the people. And so once the Jews returned from their captivity back into Canaan now, they're back into Jerusalem, they built up the temple. Once again, they did not return to their former idolatry, but rather to the sham piety. This is the time after Malachi penned the last word in his prophecy. This is the time when the Sadducees arose. Shortly thereafter, when the Sadducees, you can compare the Sadducees to the modern day liberals in the churches today. They did not believe in the angels or the angelic world or the world of spirits. They did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't really put much credence in the supernatural. During this time also, the sect of the Pharisees rose up. The Pharisees were a self-righteous group indeed. They didn't think they had much need for a Savior because, after all, looking down their nose at the ordinary people who did not understand the law, they understood the law. Not only did they understand the law, but they practiced the law flawlessly. And they outdid the law. They made up new laws and they practiced them. This was the Pharisee. Also, we had the priest that led the temple worship. And we had the scribes that taught the people from the law of God. And these were the priests and the scribes made up the group called the Sanhedrin, which were the leading structure, institution, if you will, over the people of God that is spoken about in Acts, for example. This was also the time that Daniel, in his prophecy, prophesied, saying that during this time the abomination of desolation would stand in the holy place, a reference to Antiochus Epiphanes, who stopped the people from worshiping, prevented them from worship, and also slew many people, killed many people in that day. It was during this time that that the Jews lost their freedom to Rome, and the heathen entered into the holy city and really took over the place. It was also, to add to all this, 400 years from Malachi to the breaking on the scene of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. 400 years of silence. There was no inspired historian, no prophet, no dream, no vision. It was as if the doors and the windows of heaven shut closed. And nothing came out at all to speak to the people. 400 years of silence. At that time, the people that feared God and loved God gathered together themselves for encouragement and comfort. They spoke about Him. And about what the fathers had taught them, what they heard from the fathers about the word of God, the miracles, and the works, and the mighty works of God. And they found courage in this time of great need and trouble. And like I said, we're falling into that time in our days where there are many places in this world where people meet. I was speaking with somebody just recently who went on a vacation to Puerto Rico, a beautiful place indeed. It's part of the United States, as you know, and it has many affluent areas. Well, they went to this OP church there in Puerto Rico at a storefront where 40 people gathered, hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people out there doing their thing, and 40 people here are gathered together. In many places like that in the United States, in communities in the United States, and in communities in Europe, and throughout the world as well, where little groups of people are gathered together that truly fear the Lord and bring to mind the things that God has taught from His Word, and encourage themselves in a time of evil, such a time as we live in these days. The Lord listens to them. He hearkens unto their voice. He hears their prayers. He listens carefully to what they're saying about Him and about His Word to each other, and how they're using His Word to encourage one another. And He keeps a record of it. In the Book of Remembrance, every single word, every single prayer, every single tear in His Book of Remembrance. What's so special and unique about these people who fear the Lord? It says in this verse, verse 16, at the end of it, that we're told that they thought upon God's name. They thought upon God's name. How do we think upon God's name? As one commentator says, God's name is God Himself, as we know Him by His self-revelation. His name is near, as His wondrous works declare. The voice of the Lord is in the rumbling thunder, also in the beauty of the lily, in the still small voice of the summer breeze. He speaks to us through the roar of the lion, but no less through the bleat of the lamb. All creation joins in singing the praises of our God. All history shows the unfolding of the counsel of the Most High as He carries out His purpose even through the defiant wickedness of evil men. The Lord is near to those who fear. Yet, we would never know this. We would never understand this if He hadn't revealed Himself in His Word to us by the Spirit, through faith
in Jesus Christ. We would never know any of this. We would be in darkness. We would be as dull-minded and as dim-witted from a spiritual point of view as the whole world that's out there who are steeped in unbelief and sin. But God has revealed it to us through His Word. All we know and understand comes from Him, as He has deposited Himself through the presence of the Spirit in us to reveal the truth, to reveal that God is declaring Himself and showing Himself and showing His mind to us in the creation as well, and especially in His Word of Revelation, the Bible. Those that fear the Lord are deeply conscious that God is with them everywhere, every day, throughout the time that they spend here on earth. God is their chief concern in the morning, at noontime, and in the evening hour. God is the most important thing in their life. And they can only wonder why it is that God still restrains and refrains from coming to the point where He enacts His vengeance upon those who dishonor and disgrace Him daily, everywhere, throughout the world. Thankfully, He has not yet come to enact His vengeance upon a sin-sick world, because He still has a plan and a purpose. But we do think from the scriptures of how this is, how this works. When, for example, childless Zacharias and Elizabeth, who prayed fervently to have a child but could not, how Zacharias had to serve in the temple with the profane and perverted priest day in and day out, and how his soul was troubled, and how Elizabeth, his wife, was concerned for her husband because of the corruption of the priest and the people of that day. And we also can think of the example of Simeon and Anna, who visited the temple on a daily basis to find comfort from the leadership that had none, and longed for the promised one, the promised Messiah, to come and reveal Himself, and no doubt prayed with the psalmist prayers like, "Redeem Israel, O God, from all his troubles, and oh that thou would rend the heavens, and that thou would come down." We have the mental picture, as one writer puts it, the mental picture of the shepherds in the field that night under the starry skies after they gather their sheep and pen them up a bit. And they sit around the fire talking about the promises of God that are in the scripture, and that they never fail, and that the Messiah is coming. He's going to come sometime. No, it's no wonder that He did appear to them at some point, because they talked about it. They talked about these things around the fire, in the open air, under the stars, about God's word, and how these people, Zacharias and Elizabeth and Anna and Simeon and the shepherds in the field, all longing and talking about the name of the Lord and the word of God and what the fathers had taught them. And the Lord heard every word of it. The Lord heard their cries. He received their tears, as the psalmist says, in a bottle. Nothing escaped Him. He noted everything. And then suddenly, it happened that the numerous signs, and that son would be the forerunner of the Messiah. And then that angel Gabriel appeared to Mary shortly after that, and told her that the child in you is a holy seed of God. And Mary came to Elizabeth, who was also pregnant with John at that point, and told her that the incarnate one is in her womb, is with her now, that God had revealed that. Joseph was also told by the angel that he was to take Mary, and that things were happening. The shepherds were shown the glory of the heavens, the plain lit up, right? Lit up that night, but the glory of heaven appearing before the shepherds who were praying and talking about this for the longest time. Finally, it happens, and they hear glory to God in the highest from angelic voices. And then also a star is formed in the east to inform the Gentiles, the wise men over there in the east, that the Christ child was to be born. All these spectacular and wonderful things, because God heard their prayers, because God had the book of remembrance, and in his time, he was going to reveal to them all that he heard them, that not a prayer, not a tear was shed, nothing was wasted. When you have devoted it to him, when those who fear him, his name, and speak about him and his thoughts about him from his word, how they're heard and listened to. And the same is true. These things were written for us, dear people. The same is true for us. Lord, how long? How long will it be before you come? Do you see what's happening? Do you see what's taking place? Even in this wonderful nation, in so many ways, a wonderful nation, great nation, what's taken place, the perversion and the aimlessness of people, the sickness of the mind of people, the leadership, the educators, the whatever, even the science is corrupted. Medicine and all this is just going to hell. All these things. How long, oh Lord, will it take? The Lord says, I hear you. I hearken to you. Listen to me. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise that I am coming and I'm coming quickly, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all his own, his elect, come to repentance. Be patient. In these days, we are urged to seek our fellowship with one another, to gather together, not as the government tells us, to stay apart because of fear of something, because of their orders. No, to come together and to talk with one another, and to encourage one another, to encourage one another that the Lord is coming, that the Lord is coming quickly, that he hears our cries and hears our prayers, and that we need to be with one another, like these people of old that needed each other, to uplift one another in the Lord and speak about the truth concerning his word, not the words of other people, the words of this culture, the words of this man or that man or these people or that, whatever. Not the rules and the laws and the ordinances of men, but the rules and the laws and the ordinance of God. And to speak about those things and know what they need and seek to follow them rather than the ordinances and the rules and the regulations of man. These are the things he says. Gather together, seek him out together, pray one another. I am keeping a record of this. I am noting it. I have a book of remembrance for you to strengthen you. Do not listen to the false Christ, to the false prophets, to cunningly devised fables about the evolution and things like that that are taking place and gripping the church. And people in our day, including people in the church, we are encouraged to lay hold on the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some,
but exhorting one another, and all the more as you see and you expect the Lord to return at any time now.
Our Lord assures us, behold, I come quickly. I come quickly, and my reward is in my hand to give to everyone a crown of life who fear my name and have thoughts about my name, talk about me. As he remembered the prayers and the cares of Zacharias and Elizabeth, of Simeon and Anna, of the shepherds, of Mary and Joseph, and even the wise men. God has in mind what we care most about, and that is his coming again. That is returned for us. And just at the right time, dear people, just at the right time, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. God remembers. God remembers us. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Your book of remembrance is such an encouragement to us. We are to remain faithful. We are to remain faithful even unto death, faithful to the end. Find us doing so, Lord. Give us that amazing grace that will make it happen and keep it for us. We ask, Heavenly Father, that thou would bless each and every heart here, heart, mind, and soul, and that we go in the strength of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray all things. Amen. That's the closing hymn. Sing hymn number 676.
bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion and fellowship of the Spirit be upon you all. Amen.
Amen.
Fear of the Lord.